Welcome, everybody, to our first meeting of the House State Affairs Committee for the 2009 session. Very happy to have everybody here. First thing I'm going to do is introduce the members of the committee. We have some new members on the committee. Maybe have them give a little bit of background, what other committees they're on, and a little bit of background just introduced to the audience. And I've made a pact of doing this for the first committee meeting on those committees I chair, which is one. Yeah. I'll give you a break. I'll let you think about it. Okay. Carl, tell us about yourself and where you're from, what other committees you're on, and the way you'd like to see this committee go this year.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Your second question first, I'd like the committee to go in the way that I vote.
Okay. We'll think about that.
And I happen to be the chair of Military and Veterans Affairs, and I'm on Judiciary, this committee, Ledge Council, Ethics, and Reg Review. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And go the way you vote as long as it goes the way I vote. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate being on State Affairs again. It's been a while, and I am the chairman of the Education Committee. And I serve not only in State Affairs, but Resources and the Health and Social Services Committee. Okay. Renamed.
Yeah. That's right.
And I appreciate being here and look forward to a detailed discussion on many issues that come to State Affairs.
I meant to find out, I don't know if Nancy has it yet, by the way, our staff aide is Nancy Dawson, who's also my chief of staff.
Nancy.
And maybe at some point.
Nancy Manley.
Well, she's got fired out hard.
She was here. It's lucky she's
gone. She was lucky. And Representative Seaton has been on the committee before. He was the chairman in the past. He's my vice chair now. He's just a wealth of information. And he's part of the Beard Caucus. And Max?
Hi, I'm Max Gruenberg. I've been on this committee a few times, and I'm pleased to serve again with the chair and the vice chair and the vice chair and transportation chair, Pete Peterson. And I'm on the Judiciary Committee and the Transportation Committee, and I'm just glad to be here, and I look forward to a very productive 2 years.
And Max, Representative Gruenberg, I should say, Representative Gruenberg, is one who takes care of all the amendments on this committee. So he's an expert at that. He's been a tremendous help to me. He's I think the most senior in the legislature of anybody here.
Except for Richard Foster and the folks in the Senate.
Right. And I know
the other body, the unnamed unnamed
body. And Reverend Gatto, Reverend Seaton, myself, we're in the same class. We got elected 2002, took off in 2003. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I was on this committee my first term, so I've been on the committee before. I'm on the Education Committee, and I'm also on the, I'm chair of Transportation, and I'm on Resources, plus the three finance subcommittees. So we're all going to be very busy, and thank you. And I'm also looking for a productive session.
Yeah, she was my seatmate on the front row there for a long time. I kept coughing, so she changed it to a different seat.
I didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah. I'll be talking to you later about the ferry schedule, by the way. And our newest member of the legislature and on the committee, Representative Peterson.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chairman. My name is Pete Peterson. I'm representing the Muldoon East Anchorage area. This is my first official committee hearing since I've been in the legislature, so I'm looking forward to being on this committee. It does talk about a lot of different subjects, and so I'm looking forward to being very educational for me, and I'm hoping I can make a contribution. I'm also going to be on the new Committee on Energy, and I'm also on the Joint Armed Services Committee. So this a bill that we're talking about today is important to me. So, but thank you, and I look forward to having a productive session.
Very good. I really do appreciate it. Welcome again to the committee, Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe Representative Peterson said this was his first committee. And yet, when I walked in, I didn't see any box of donuts or.
Yes, there is a policy here, by the way.
Must have missed it.
Yeah, there's a policy. And my chief of staff and committee aide, Nancy Manley, I'd actually put Nancy Dawson on the committee. Nancy Manley, and she's done it. She's been with me since I first got elected. And so with that, I'll do what I've done before in this committee again, because I like precedent. This is a very special gavel to me. It's my own personal gavel. This gavel was awarded to my grandmother. I was raised by my grandparents, and my grandmother Edna, we called her. And she didn't have a high school education, but when she was in her late 60s, she went back and she got her high school education. And as part of the process, most improved student, she is awarded this gavel, and it has her name on here. I just wish that she could see me using it now. She's used other things on me, but I can here. And on this committee, we have, I don't know if Nancy Manley has the list with, I don't think she does. We have a large number of bills assigned to this committee. It's one of the busiest committees in the entire legislature, and you heard the other committees that folks are on here, and we will probably be seeing many of the bills, if not most of the bills, that we consider and vote on here in other committees before they get to the House floor. So we're very fortunate in that many times this is the first committee of referrals. So we get to look at it. Now, I try to be very fair about the bills that we hear. Of course, a bill has to be assigned to this committee, and then there has to be a bill packet coming and requesting a hearing. And I think you all have a copy of what we require. And I don't show partisanship on this thing. And some people may criticize me for that, but we look at the bills as they come in, and we don't give favor to one party or the other in the bills that we hear, or even if I happen to like the person or not, that doesn't mean a thing to me. It's a bill that's important, and that's why I run things here. And so with that, again, welcome to everybody, and what is our first bill we have this morning? House Bill 80?
Yeah.
No, I got on the phone. How about that? That's very, very good.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, did you tell me that Representative Johnson is not in the building?
No, he didn't make it in.
He's on an airplane someplace, so he has an excused absence.
Mr. Chair, do you want to, in absentia, introduce Representative Johnson?
Representative Johnson has been on the committee before with me last year, a very valuable member of the committee. He's right across the hall from me, and been a big help. And when if he ever is able to land in Juneau, we'll have him introduce himself at the next committee meeting.
And he's the co-chair of the Resources Committee.
Co-chair of the Resources Committee. Have a lot of co's in here.
He's also on transportation.
He's also on transportation. Okay.
Vice chair of transportation.
Oh. Okay. And with that, we're going to consider this morning House Bill 80. We have a CS for House Bill 80. It deals with the Joint Armed Services Committee, and we're entertaining a motion to adopt the CS.
That's so moved.
Okay. Without objection, the committee substitute for House Bill number 80 is adopted. And please introduce yourself and tell us about this bill.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I'd like to interpose a point of order. This bill repeals a bunch of sections and revives a bunch of sections in the law, but none of us have any of those sections. I don't know what they are, and I'd like to get copies. Generally, when you repeal sections and you revive sections, they're given out, and we need to have those.
Do you have a copy of those sections?
I don't have a copy. No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, well, why don't you introduce yourself, present the bill, and maybe we get somebody to bring some of those in.
For the record, my name is Laura Pierre. I work for Representative Nancy Dahlstrom. What this legislation does is basically revives the JAS Committee. When the JAS Committee was first introduced in 1999, they put a sunset on it of 10 years. And as of January 1st, the JAS Committee no longer technically exists in law. And their reasoning for that was back then they weren't sure how long and how often the BRAC Commission would look at closing military bases in Alaska or across the country. It's been ongoing for the past 10 years and will come up again in 2 years, possible base closures in Alaska. At that time as well, 10 years ago, they were considering building a missile defense site up here. As we know, they've done that in Fort Greeley, and they continue to test from Fort Greeley and very active in the state. What this bill also does is it does not revive the subcommittee under JASC, which is Homeland Security and Emergency Management. And the reason for that is in the statute, it requires members of that committee to get a security clearance from Department of Defense. And since September 11th, they no longer give security clearances to state legislators. That committee was formed for the purpose of hearing confidential information from state officials, federal officials, on any sort of disaster or emergency that were to take place in the state. The committee, that subcommittee, has not met for over 2 years. Representative Dahlstrom and some other officials, military officials, feel that that subcommittee is no longer needed. And so with that, I'd appreciate your support of the bill. Like I said, right now, JASC committee cannot meet because it did sunset on January 1st.
I understand. Now, Nancy Dawson tells me that she is getting one of my staffers to get those sections that we need to look at before we go any further.
Sure.
And
Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunberg and Representative Wilson.
I do apologize, and I certainly didn't mean to put you on the spot, ma'am, by my questions. But this is a committee that is unusual, and I'm probably going to be talking about the same subject on at least one other bill that the members of the minority have all co-sponsored, and that is in this committee, and that's the issue of proportional representation. For some reason, this committee does not have proportional representation of the minority.
This committee?
No, the Joint Armed Services Committee. Okay. Yes. And the statute is AS 24.20.650, subsections B1 and B2. And I do apologize for not even having given this section out. I'm going to read it to you with the permission of the chair. The committee is composed of 5 members of the Senate, at least one of whom is a member of the minority appointed by the president of the Senate, 5 members of the State House of Representatives, of the House of Representatives, at least one of whom is a member of the minority appointed by the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and then there are other people who are non-legislators on this. And I am at the appropriate time, Mr. Chair, going to make what will not be my last amendment of the 2 years for proportional representation on this committee, and it will just have to be a conceptual amendment because I don't have the language.
Could you tell us, somebody tell us what the representation is now, how many of each party on legislative members?
I would have to look.
And if it were changed, what it would change to?
Okay, I would have to look, and I will have to look in the uniform rule to do that. And if you just give me a minute and come back to me, I will look. There's a chart, a table in there, and it's and I'll have to, if you could pass for a minute, and I'll find that.
Oh, we can do that. When did you become aware of this, Representative Grunberg?
I became aware of the fact that the Joint Armed Services Committee did not have proportional representation quite a while ago. We didn't put it into the other bill, but since we do have this committee before us today, I think it's appropriate to include it in this bill. And it would, I would further, just to serve notice, make that so it is not effective in the 26th legislature, not until the 27th legislature. I guess we haven't even appointed people on it yet, but if I guess we haven't appointed.
We have a chair, a co-chair.
Yeah.
And
so I'm happy to make it a point for the next legislature. Okay. So we don't.
And I assume you contacted the sponsor of this bill about that?
Never. I didn't even think about it until now because I'm afraid I'm behind the eight ball today. I do apologize. But it only goes to this committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. Representative Gruenberg, I'm trying to figure out this bill on line 8, the committee substitute, revives AS 2420-650. So are you say, I mean, as you read 2420-650, I believe that was what you read, this would revive it and make it so that there would be proportional representation.
If you adopt my amendment, it would. It was a conceptual amendment to revise it with that change. I'm sorry to interrupt.
My question is, if we are reviving 2420-650, the entire section, and proportional representation is in for this committee on 2420-650, doesn't the bill already revive proportional representation for this committee by reviving that statute?
Mr. Chair, if I may respond to Representative Seaton. No, because it specifically says there are five members. I'm sorry. How many total members are there? Of the five representatives, only one can be a member of the minority, even if there are 19 members in the minority, only one. And under my proposed amendment, which I'll offer at the appropriate time, Mr. Chair, if you have that high a number, then there would be two members of the minority. That's the difference it would make.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two different questions. I'm thinking on this. It might be because this is a total different committee than our normal committees, because our normal committees are limited to just people in the legislature. However, this committee that we're talking about, isn't it, have a lot more members on it? So I would imagine that when they do the, they want it to kind of be nonpartisan, because they're going to be bringing a bunch of people from the outside, and they probably will be a big mixture of whatever. I don't know, but there might be a reason, and it would be interesting to go back on the history of that to find out. That's one thing. The other thing is that does this bill make this a permanent committee?
Yes.
Now, does it make it a permanent committee in the legislature? Okay. If it does that, I know we really had to work hard to get the education committee to be a permanent committee instead of just a special committee. And the reason is that in the Senate, because there's only 20 people, it's very difficult for them to go ahead and make other committees because they don't have as many people as we do. So have you talked with the Senate and to see where they stand on this at all?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, we are working really closely with our vice chair, who is Senator Wilikowski, and he is in full support of this legislation. It's actually up in state affairs on the Senate side at 9 a.m. this morning. I will note that this committee does not meet on a regular basis. It's strictly for briefing purposes by military officials from our state and federally, and we get briefed on BRAC, missile defense, at the F-22s being moved into the state, the grounding of F-15s for the short time last couple years ago. So it's strictly for briefing purposes, the committee is. It does not meet on a regular basis.
Yeah, I've been a member of that committee from time to time, and typically maybe just once or twice, sometimes three times during the entire session.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've used the term not less than one and only one interchangeably, which they're not. I'm curious to know, I'm sure the statute is probably not less than one and not restrictive to only one. And then question number two is, what happens if there is no minority party?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Peterson first. Representative Gruenberg.
To answer Representative Seaton's earlier question and Representative Gatto's recent questions, the uniform rules, which I would model my amendment on, say that the minority, which is set forth in one of these rules, says that there has to be a certain size before they get any representation. And in the House, if you have 15 or less in the minority, you get one in a committee of five. And if you have between 16 and 19, you would get two. And there's a chart here, and at the appropriate time, I can have the chart distributed. In the Senate, again, if it's seven or less, you get one, and if it's eight or nine, you get two. There are actually several statutes, several committees that are not under the uniform rules that were not changed when we adopted the proportional representation in the, I believe, the 15th state legislature. And I was here at the time, and I don't know why we didn't amend the statutes at the time. Ledge Council and LB&A and this committee, they're statutory committees and they're permanent. You don't have to amend the uniform rules and go through all of that. It's a statute. So if we just pass this statute, that will keep this in existence.
Never mind. What is the exact representation now for who is on that committee and who's minority? What are the numbers between minority and majority on that committee?
We have one member of the minority.
And that would be who?
That's Representative Peterson.
On Joint Armed Services?
Yes.
Okay.
And frankly, I don't know. Maybe the staff knows.
Who are the other members?
I don't know who the other members are.
I'm not sure, Mr. Chairman.
But, you know, I'm not so concerned about doing it for this legislature. It could be effective for the 27th legislature. I'm not seeking to upset the people who've been appointed this time. This is more on a permanent basis, Mr. Chair. And it's something I'll be bringing up regularly for fairness.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And although it's not a question for our body at this time, my understanding is the uniform rules has no minority representation necessary on any committee in the Senate because the minority is of four, and so they're not required to have any. So if we would adopt the uniform rules for this, then the minority would have no seat on this joint committee because under the uniform rules they're not, my understanding is they're not not the allowance, but the requirement that they have a proportional representation of someone on this committee, whereas there's uniform rules has no proportional representation with a minority of four. So I'm not sure at which point in the House rules we would get to a minority that has no guaranteed representation, and the current bill has it that there would be at least one from that minority, even if it's a smaller minority, and this would take that away. So, you know, the sword cuts both ways. So I think that we just need to look at the statute and figure out how small a minority we want to have at least guaranteed a single seat on this committee versus no representation guaranteed, which the uniform rules would.
If I may respond.
And of course, we don't know what the majority-minority count is going to be in the next legislature. Nobody knows.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I do see on the chart here that Representative Seaton is correct. In the Senate, if you have less than five, there are no guaranteed seats on any committee. In the House, if you have less than 10, there are no guaranteed seats on any committee. And I think the reason for that may be not that they don't want people on it, but that there just wouldn't be enough if you have such a tiny minority. Like once in the Senate, it was 19-1. with Senator Coghill, and that was in the 16th or 17th when Senator Kelly chaired the Senate. And, you know, he couldn't be on every single committee. That wouldn't have worked. But that is something that we certainly can take into consideration. I think on behalf of the minority, are more concerned that that it's proportional once it gets up higher, and we can certainly deal with if it's down lower, if that occurs. And I don't know what the Senate minority would feel about this, but I'm more concerned on a generic basis. And thanks for letting me talk about that.
That's fine. We have a little bit of luxury right now because this is the only bill before the committee this morning, because most of the bills that we're going to be hearing, no one's asked for a hearing yet, it's in the future. But I'm concerned about, you know, about delaying this bill, because the chair of the co-chair, I guess I should say, Representative Dalton, knows nothing about this whatsoever, and I think that she needs to be able to weigh in on this. Would you agree?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I would agree.
And is she available today? Or?
She would be available this afternoon if.
Well, we couldn't meet this afternoon because we won't be meeting this afternoon. Because we either need to, hope springs eternal. I hope to pass this, quote, simple bill out today. Suddenly it's not simple anymore. So is she not available this morning to talk with us about this?
No, she's not in the building.
And Mr. Chair?
Yes.
We are still waiting to get the other stuff duplicated. And I would like to see all of these bills, all of these other statutes that are referenced before I vote on
it. And what's the next committee of referral?
It does not have another committee of referral, Mr. Chairman.
So this is it.
That is it.
I will note that, if I may, the JAS committee does not take any votes. They do not have bills that come before their committee. Like I said before, it's strictly for briefing purposes. And I know that in the past, every meeting that they have held, every briefing they have held, has been a joint meeting. It's a joint committee, and all members are invited. All members of the House, all members of the Senate are invited to come and sit at the table and listen in on the briefing and weigh in if they so choose.
Yeah, but is this something that could be done at a future time or in the legislature?
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I assume that was addressed to me.
Yes.
Let me put it this way. I don't know much about the workings of the committee, never having sat on it.
If I may, it's basically, as the lady says, it's primarily briefing, you know, and a little bit of discussion. We don't take votes on on that committee. I've never voted on that committee.
Well, I don't feel. I was mainly raising my issue. We did not, when we drafted the other bill that is before this committee, we specifically did not include this committee on it at the time. And I don't feel really strongly about the proposed amendment. I'm bringing it up simply to raise the consciousness of the members of this committee and the public, including Mr. Pierre over there, the issue of fairness to those of us in the minority. And I will be bringing the other bill before the committee. But I do have an interest.
Is the title broad enough on the other bill to include this?
Sure, it could be. There's no problem about that. I'm happy to do it. But the other thing, Mr. Chair, and you know me, I pick nits for fun and profit.
Any disagreement on that?
I do have an interest in seeing these statutes that we are reviving and repealing. If we could just stand at ease or pass to anything else for a minute until they're duplicated, and at least we could look at it.
Well, I have no problem with that. But I'm reluctant to get this relatively simple bill, basically as, taking care of a sunset bill here, and get bogged down in the minority.
I will withdraw the conceptual.
Bill where we don't even vote.
Mr. Chair, I'm not going to offer the amendment. Okay. I've made my point. But I would like to see those statutes.
Representative Gatto.
And, Mr. Chair, of course, there is a floor vote.
I'm not going to raise it on the floor. Let me put it this way. I may say.
I'm going to excuse me, I beg your pardon.
Just my question, there is a floor vote, if that would be an opportune time for adding an amendment.
Well, that's a good idea.
Mr. Chair, I wouldn't do that, this kind of an amendment on the floor. I probably will say something because I think it's an important thing from the minority's point of view. I'm using your bill as a vehicle.
I completely understand.
I don't intend to change the wheel at this point, but I would like to see these statutes.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we've heard many, many times that they don't like us to do legislation on the floor. They want us to do it here in committee. So
that's right.
At least you're the chair, so whatever your wishes here. But I think we need to, if we're going to do something, we do it now or we just don't do it. We don't go on and try to get it done on the floor.
Well, I agree. I don't think it should be done on the floor. This is not a type of thing that one would do on the floor anyway, I wouldn't think. Any comments, anybody else?
And just once again, so there's no question.
Representative Grunberg.
I'm not planning to do it on the floor. I've raised the issue, and my only issue is to take a couple of minutes once these are duplicated to look at the statutes, and then I'm ready to pass it out.
Let's take a short, Eddie. House State Affairs Committee back on the record. Representative Grunberg.
If the members would look at the 1999 session law that we've been handed.
Here's the page.
The front page.
What's the
page? Okay. It says 1999. The other is a 2004 session law. Okay. What this 1999 Act did was to enact the laws establishing the Joint Committee. And they are all set out in here. The findings are not being dealt with, repealed or anything. So we don't worry about those. Those are just findings. But if you look on page 2 of the 1999 Act, in line 19 and following, that sets up the current statutes. And I don't believe they've been amended, have they? I don't think.
No,
they haven't. Okay. So what we're doing here is repealing a repealer and keeping these statutes on the books. The other thing, which is, and basically, this second statute, 2004, was mentioned in the original bill. If the members would look at the original bill on line 4 and contrast it to the CS, you will see in line 4 the reference to the 2004 bill act is eliminated. Members can see the difference here. This language does not appear on line 4 here. Is everybody with me? And the only other difference between the bill and the CS is on the original bill on line 10, it references a statute here, 242680, and that is no longer referenced. And the language in the 2004 bill that was taken out was section 23, and if the members would look at the 2004 bill on page 19, line 19.
Page 19, line 19?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That repealed this section 680. And if the members would look a little bit ahead in the same 2004 Act to page 2, line 5, that is the statute that established the Homeland Security and Emergency Management Subcommittee of the Joint Armed Services Committee. And originally, the original bill was reviving that subcommittee. The proposed CS will not revive that subcommittee. So the subcommittee will go away. And if people understand that, I would like to ask a question only on that subcommittee. Because, if I may, Mr. Chair.
You've already asked it, have you not?
No.
Okay, go ahead and ask it.
In this time of heightened scrutiny of Homeland Security issues, this is a subcommittee that's dedicated to Homeland Security. And I, for one, have a problem with repealing that. Why are we repealing the Homeland Security Subcommittee?
For the record, Mr. Chairman, my name is McHugh Pierre. I'm the legislative liaison for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, through the department's point of view on this, to facilitate this subcommittee, we would have to get security clearances as mandated in law for legislators. The federal government does not give security clearances to state legislators. That is very clear in federal statute. For many reasons, confidentiality is their largest concern. Therefore, the committee as it is drafted won't meet the needs spelled out in statute, because you will not be able to receive the confidential information that is desired to be shared in that setting. Therefore, from the department standpoint, it's irrelevant. You can receive this information through the traditional JASC committee, as has already been happening. To my knowledge, Representative Gruenberg, this subcommittee has never met since 2004, and I've been involved with this indirectly or directly since 2004. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. That answers my question.
Any other concerns on that point? Representative Satan?
Mr. Chairman, just for informational purposes, of course, this committee is the Committee of Jurisdiction for Homeland Security.
Yes.
And in the past, we have met in executive session to receive briefings of a nature of which could not be divulged. And so there is the ability to talk with our Homeland Security folks and receive confidential information within this committee structure that we have here at State Affairs.
Now, on the confidential information, is that the same type of confidential information I had when I was on active duty in the military? You know, we had confidential, we had secret, a top secret, and higher one. That's not the same confidentiality as in the military, is it?
Mr. Chairman, you're correct. That is not the same type. You're right. There are different levels, and the confidential material that is shared with legislators is not detailed and secret enough to receive a clearance for.
And so to get any of the military stuff, we'd have to get a special clearance.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
And most of it you can read in an Air Force magazine anyway. That's a fact.
And Mr. Chairman, my only point in bringing that up was that eliminating that committee does not eliminate the opportunity for the Committee of Jurisdiction to
get
the information that we're legally entitled to and to have oversight of anything in Homeland Security.
And the administration agrees with that.
Mr. Chairman, yes, sir.
To Representative Wilson.
And I would like to point out that also, since this committee is the committee that be
oversight?
Yeah, oversight to it. This committee does have the balance of minority. So
yes,
that might make Representative Gruenberg feel a little bit better because of the fact that in this committee we do have that.
And we hear from it quite often. any further questions? Mr. Pierre, anything you'd like to add to this bill or any comments or anything?
Thank you very much for the opportunity to address the committee, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Anything further on you'd like to present?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to check and see if I'm reading this correctly. On committee substitute on line 9, the end of that sentence where section 1, chapter 6, SLA 1999. As I read that, that we're reviving, that is a finding. that we're reviving. And I just wanted to find out the purpose of that, reviving a finding.
Do you have the answer? I don't have the answer.
I do not. We could get legal on the phone if you'd like to answer that question. I don't know maybe what her reasoning was.
Well, Mr. Pierre, can you answer that?
And Mr. Chairman, I was Representative Gruenberg. You were going through identifying which what we're doing. Is that correct? Is that the section that's being revived? Is that refining? And, yes, and just so everybody is clear, it says the closure of ADAC Naval Air Facility and realignment of Army activities at Fort Greely by the 1995 Base Realignment and Closure Commission continue to create challenges for communities committed to their productive reuse and integration into the state's economy.
So, Representative Gruenberg?
Mr. Chair, Mr. McHugh, Mr. Pierre, sorry. I'll get this right one of these days. Do you have a copy of that finding handy? Do we have an extra copy, Nancy? Here, here. Here.
Yeah, here.
What, you got it there? Yeah. If you could just grab it. I think what Representative Seaton may be getting at, if I may, Representative, I understand, that's what we're dealing with. What we'd like to do, since we're reviving these findings and they are somewhat dated, let's make sure they're still accurate, because if they're not or we want to update them, then we should repeal and reenact the findings to make them current.
Through the Chair, Representative Gruenberg, once again, this is McHugh Pierre, Ledge Liaison, Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. You are correct in the fact that repealing Finding 6 is a dated, very specific finding that doesn't necessarily apply to the law now that I look at it. It specifically references answers of a 1995 Base Realignment and Closure Commission. So as we have experienced in 2005, there was another Base Realignment and Closure Commission in which Coolis was bracked, it was closed, and we're moving that wing, the 176 wing of the Air National Guard, over to Elmendorf. Part of that discussion as well was to whether or not to close Eielson Air Force Base. And you remember that was the most contentious part of that Base Realignment and Closure Commission hearing that year, for Alaskans anyway. The department expects another round of BRAC discussions during the next couple of years of the Obama administration, and it would not be appropriate to have this language back in the bill, but it would be appropriate to leave it out or just to simply acknowledge that BRAC does affect Alaska. It affects our communities. It affects your constituents, and it's very important that we have an active voice within the state legislature, that we are unified as a state to take on the interests of Alaskans.
Representative Gruenberg?
Through the chair, Mr. Pierre, you're absolutely right, and the Representative Seaton was absolutely right in calling this to our attention. I would like to, through the chair, request that you take a few minutes or whatever you need to make sure that our legislative findings are current, up to date, and as persuasive as possible, because this will constitute the legislature's position on these BRACs. And I think this section may, in a sense, stand alone and may be very helpful for our congressional delegation at the appropriate time, particularly if this is passed on to them. So I would suggest that we repeal and reenact Section 1 and make it as persuasive and tough as possible. And not just repeal it, but repeal and reenact it. Do you wish to take a little time, or we could, even if you didn't want to delay it, do it as a floor amendment or something? But I think it's better to do it in committee.
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, I certainly am willing to act at the will of the chair and at the will of the committee. However, I would like to say that your voice as a committee, this Joint Armed Services Committee, is more powerful than this one sentence in the bill. And therefore, I see that if we limit I see a potential conflict that in the future, if we were to put language in, it would be in this situation again, where in 10 years it would be dated not appropriate. Whereas if you simply remove the dated information, you can have the current committee members sponsor a resolution that brings that information before the full body, and you speak as one with a more powerful voice than anything that simply one sentence would have.
The reason, if I may, Mr. Chair, is like on page 1, line 7 of the legislative findings, to conduct 2 new rounds of military base closure. It may be that now there's more or less than 2 rounds. And I want you to take a look carefully and make sure that there are not any other problems in Section 1.
Representative Satan.
Thank you. Just for clarity, I think that the only finding that is being revived is that 6 is not being eliminated. It's the only finding that is left in this bill, and we're leaving out, finding all military bases in Alaska are scheduled for review and evaluation and closure, and the strategic location, number 3, the strategic location of state's military bases, their unparalleled training and maneuvering areas, and their modern facilities represent an asset of unmatched military value to the nation. All those are being left out. So that the only thing that is being revived here is ADAC and Fort Greeley. Now, unless I'm mistaken.
No, that's not right.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I would
yield
for explanation.
Mr. Grunberg?
Yes, Mr. Chair, if the members would look at the CS on line 9, the verb is on line 8. The statutes that are being revived is the entire section 1 of chapter 6, 1999. And so the whole thing will go back into the statute books. Everything from the act from page 1, line 4, over to page 2, line 18, that whole thing will be revived. And I really do think that if we're going to revive that the department and the sponsor's staff should make sure that these are accurate. They're no longer accurate, and I think they need to be accurate, and they need to be good, strong statements.
Mr. Pierre?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Grunberg, I agree, and I'm more than happy to take a few seconds at the will of the chair and review this even further to make sure we satisfy all of the requests.
Can we do that here this morning?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're doing at ease?
Whatever.
Please.
Sure.
Mr. Pierre.
Through the chairman, Representative Grunberg, I wouldn't change any of the language that we see here right now, although some of it was appropriate to 1995 when the Department of Defense anticipated only 2 future BRAC commissions meeting. Now it's generally accepted that there will always and continuously be BRAC commissions reviewing the positions, the infrastructure around the nation and around the country by the U.S. military. And I believe that the language in here is very strong, and that it establishes the strategic location of Alaska's military bases and their continued unparalleled training and maneuvering abilities and their modern facilities. And that is still true, and the economic value is still true and still meets all of the language that is currently in statute.
May I inquire?
Representative Grunberg.
Is the figure on page 1, line 14 of $1,700,000,000 still accurate?
Through the chairman, Representative Grunberg, yes, sir.
Okay. So I would suggest.
Grunberg?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry. It sounds like, if I may directly address Mr. Pierre, you only are recommending we delete subsection 6, which is on page 2, lines 3 through 6.
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, that is correct.
Then I would offer a conceptual Representative Seaton, you were going to say something.
Representative Seaton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm not sure like I said, when I originally brought this up, it appeared that we were only including Section 6 and we were eliminating all the others, my concern. But as you know, ADAC Naval Base did close, and the realignment at Fort Greely probably does continue to create challenges for the communities there. And so those findings are probably, we've heard ADAC shutting down because they can't get fuel and all this, and community out there is under stress. So I don't think that these are necessarily dated findings as well. I'm not as familiar with the with Greeley and whether that is a problem, but before we would eliminate that, I would want to make sure that is no longer a problem, or that the community isn't having some problems of that integration. I'm not sure how detailed we want to be in the finding, but I'm not sure that we can say that those findings are no longer correct until we know they're correct. And so personally, I would rather adopt the findings as they are, unless we know that when those were developed, they were developed for a reason. And unless those reasons are no longer accurate, I wouldn't want us to say they are no longer accurate by taking them out, because I know that ADAC is still undergoing a lot of stress that's identified right in this finding.
Mr. Chair.
Everybody else comfortable on the committee? Representative Seaton just said. I have a nod down here. Yeah. Representative Wilson.
Mr. Chair, Mr. McHugh, or Mr. Pierre, is the first finding still accurate, or does that require any change?
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, that is accurate. Okay. It does not need to be changed.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we've got any comment on this? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Seaton?
I would move that we move CS for House Bill 80, 26 LS 0394 /R from committee with attached fiscal note and individual recommendation.
Are you ready? Objection?
I don't think we have a fiscal note yet.
I saw one.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, without objection, we'll move House Bill 80 out of committee. The next committee referral.
Thank you.
I'm glad we had a very simple bill. I'm looking forward to bills in the future. It'll be complicated, so we can get into this a little further.
I didn't care. Oh, maybe it's here somewhere.
Just for the information of the committee, for the next committee meeting we have will be on Thursday, and we're going to be hearing three bills, all involving divestment in Sudan and which would include Darfur, of course. Now, how this is going to work is, which one is mine? Is it 5 or 42?
5.
Okay. I have a divestment bill, HB 5, which is essentially the same one that I had last year. I believe Representative Guerra has HB 42. And then we have the governor is bringing in a bill. And so we are simply going to hear, we're just going to introduce my bill without testimony. We're going to introduce Representative Guerra's bill without testimony. Then we're hearing the governor's bill. We do not have a number for it yet. It's not yet been right across the floor. And so pending referral, we'll hear that bill. That will probably be the vehicle to do whatever we do with the Darfur situation. And hear the testimony on that. And then at some point, we may or may not have a subcommittee to put the bills together. Any other comment from the committee on any subject, almost any subject? Representative Grunberg.
May we go off the record for just a second, please? Stand off at ease. I'd like to talk to you for a second.
record here, Representative Grunberg has come to me prior to this meeting about some committee bills he would like to have us consider, maybe. And so we just give us a title and a general rundown of what they are.
Yeah.
And then if the committee's pleasure, we may introduce them as a committee bill, or he can do it as his own bill at our pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first one is a bill that we have introduced in the past as a committee bill, and it's passed the House, and it made it over to the Senate and didn't make it through the process. It's a relatively minor bill. I'm not aware of any opposition to it. It provides two things. Number one, a deceased veteran's family can get free copies of the death certificate. And this is important so that the veterans, the family can get death benefits on behalf of the veteran. And the other section, and that's based on Arizona law. And the section two provides that the governor can provide a memorial certificate to the veteran. And this is based on federal law where the president can do the same thing. And I would ask first that without objection, we once again introduce this as a committee bill so we can send it over and try to get it enacted.
Okay. Do you want to talk about the second at the same time?
Or do you want to?
What's the feeling in the committee? Do we want to do that as a committee bill possibly, or would you rather do it individually?
Committee.
Committee as well. This is the same bill that we passed, exactly.
Identical. Yeah. You folks have all, except Representative Peterson, have all seen this ad nauseum.
So
committee bill.
We'll get this added as a committee bill to get it heard as soon as we can. And you had a second bill there?
The second bill.
Possible committee bill?
Yes, the second bill is a bill that, once again, I introduced it last time, and it passed over to the Senate and died in the same unnamed final committee of referral. There was a mix-up, and frankly, the chair and I had talked about putting this in as a committee bill, and I wasn't aware that we were going to do that. I put it in under my name. It's House Joint Resolution 1. It changes the name in a couple places that were inadvertently left out in the Constitution from Secretary of State to Lieutenant Governor, and this would just conform the Constitution. And if it's agreeable with the committee to make this a committee bill, the chair stands up on the floor and asks unanimous consent to change the sponsor, and I agree, and that's it. We'll just have to make sure that the speaker's okay with this, but I would ask unanimous consent that we change the sponsor of this to the committee.
Representative
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have another bill called the Gender Neutral Bill, which does similar things. Modifies the Constitution to eliminate references to him and he, and make them the governor, the commissioner, more specifically. That's a similar type of statement. I'm not asking that we commingle the two, because this would pass much more easily. And I did have the bill on gender neutral references reach the Rules Committee and never move beyond it. That bill has already been read across the floor, and we'll be pursuing that one. It's only a way of information that we are looking at the Constitution and trying to revise it in a way that it more clearly reflects, or it becomes more accurate as to how we govern the laws of the state.
And there would be a difference in what happened in the Rules Committee with the committee bills compared to a personal bill?
I wish I could answer that. I think it was the fact that, no, I can't answer that one.
Okay.
Not on the record.
Okay. Any comment on that?
I'd ask unanimous consent.
For yours?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any problem with Representative Grunberg's bill for going to committee bill? If not, we'll get that drafted.
Thank you.
And on the gender neutral constitutional thing, what is your desire on that, Representative Gatto?
I'm not going to offer an opportunity to deal with that bill here and now. I think we'll wait for that bill to it'll show up here.
Okay.
We'll deal with it then.
Okay, thank you. Any other business to come before the committee? We're off to a roaring start here, and I appreciate your attendance and looking forward to the rest of the session.